This is Monty in the Morning, the show Phoenix Magazine readers voted number one talk radio show in Arizona.
Number one during your morning commute.
Number one whenever news breaks during your day.
And number one whenever and wherever you want to talk sports.
Now it's time for Monty in the Morning.
Hey, yo, good morning. It is Monday morning. It is LWOM. Last week of January 2021. Go ahead and smash that subscribe button on YouTube. Just search The Monty Show, M-O-N-T-Y, The Monty Show on YouTube. By the way, we are not going to be on Periscope very much longer. So please, if you're a Periscope watcher, make sure you find us on YouTube, The Monty Show, M-O-N-T-Y, The Monty Show. Hit that subscribe button. We are going to be ending our Periscope feed here in the next couple of weeks. So please make sure you go and find The Monty Show, M-O-N-T-Y, The Monty Show on YouTube. And wherever you get your podcasts on the audio side, we are everywhere you would want to be. iTunes, iHeartRadio, Radio.com, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, you name it. Anywhere you want to find us, including the incredibly sexy Instagram account I run, just search The Monty Show. M-O-N-T-Y, The Monty Show. I'm kind of a big deal.
Mm-hmm. We get it.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. Yep, totally get it.
Hey, Jake, I said I'm kind of a big deal.
Yeah, I get it. I mean, you're a huge deal. I know.
You know.
I know.
You could have played a drop there, but Jake has boycotted playing any drops
at all. How have I boycotted it?
He has decided that
don't know nothing.
Yeah, what our listeners want doesn't matter. You never play drops anymore.
That's not true.
It is true. We should probably talk football. Even though our listeners complain that you used to play drops and you don't anymore. You know, it is what it is. Will is not thrilled. Will the Thrill is not thrilled that you refuse to play drops anymore.
I don't refuse to play drops. Yeah, they just have to make sense.
You just don't. What's up, Gabe Ledley? Good morning to you. Appreciate the comments on YouTube. All right, let's talk football. I think obviously the story in the NFL that everybody's talking about this morning is this Aaron Rodgers drama thing. That's what this feels like. So the Packers choked again. Aaron Rodgers made history, becoming the only quarterback ever to lose four straight conference championship game appearances. And I think he's got to wear a lot of the responsibility for this. The Green Bay Packers did not lose to Tom Terrific and the Bucs because they didn't kick a field goal. Or they did kick a field goal, or they didn't go. They didn't lose on a pass interference call, frankly, that was not controversial at all. It was clearly holding. It was clearly pass interference. They lost because Tom Brady is a better quarterback than Aaron Rodgers. I truly believe it is that simple. If you look at the numbers on Aaron Rodgers in this game, 2 of 9 in goal-to-go situations, so first and goal, second and goal, third and goal, he just was not great in those situations. And I think that was a difference in this game, Jake, and I think everybody that's trying to make this about something other than Aaron Rodgers not performing in the red zone, I think is making an excuse.
Yeah, I would agree. I think the holding call, you know, everyone wants to say, well, they let him play and they let him play and they let him play the whole game, but then they called that, and it's like, there's a line. I mean, in every NFL game, there are penalties that by the book are penalties, but they don't get called because they're, you know, within the flow of the game. But then, you know, you have other penalties that are very blatantly penalties, like that holding call. I mean, you can't have the guy's entire undershirt and think that that's not going to get called. Whereas I look at other plays in the game and I say, hey, he barely had his shoulder pad. It was a very savvy way that he held him. And that's why it didn't get called. And so that's why I say you can look at, you can go with the penalty route, or you can say that, you know, Matt LaFleur doesn't trust Aaron Rodgers because he kicked a field goal. But the fact of the matter is that, you know, they kicked that field goal because they had 3 timeouts at the time and the 2-minute warning, and they truly believed that they were going to get it back. Now, I had some serious questions about that, being that it was Tom Brady, but, you know, that's what they went with. So I think at the end of the day, what I always come to is, if you would have executed more earlier in the game, if you would have done a better job earlier in the game, you wouldn't have been down and you wouldn't have been chasing the Bucs. And that's just as simple as it is.
Well, and I think all this nonsense about Aaron Rodgers after the game talking about how, oh, he's leaving and, oh, my future's unknown and there's a lot. Shut up. You're not going anywhere. You know, and listening to him after the game, frankly, the frustrating part of listening to him after the game really is that there just was no need for the things that he said. And when you really get into who Aaron Rodgers is and what he means to this team, you quickly realize that Aaron Rodgers isn't going anywhere. This is a guy that, you don't envision the Packers in the next two seasons getting rid of Aaron Rodgers, no matter what he said after the game yesterday.
Hello.
No matter what he said.
It literally won't play.
The game was over, and Aaron Rodgers was
– just to get to this point.
Hey.
I don't know. I really don't. There's a lot of unknowns going into this offseason now.
Sure there is.
I'm going to have to take some time away for sure and clear my head and just kind of see what's going on with everything. But it's – pretty tough right now, especially thinking about the guys that may or may not be here next year,
including me.
Poor guy.
There's always change. That's the only constant in this business. It's really tough to get to this point. Yeah. Really, really tough.
Maybe Danica will take you back,
especially with it only being one bye week in the playoffs. It's a grind just to get to this point, and that makes the finality of it all kind of hit you like a ton of bricks. That's why it's a gutting feeling in your stomach. But I do.
What an asshole. Like, the guy is just, like, he is just so unlikable. You know, only one bye week. Like, how much time do you need, man? You just lost four straight appearances in the conference championship game because you're not elite. And, oh, I'm going to have to take some time away. And I'll just have to think about it. That's the part I love. That's got to be a drop that you don't play ever. Is the one where he's like, like, come on, bro. It's the National Football League.
Yeah.
Right? Like, oh, one bye week. Oh, like, what are you doing?
No.
Yeah, like, come on, dude. Like, one bye week. How many bye weeks did Tom Brady get? Right? Like, listen, man. It's not the bye week. It's not the field goal call. It's not the legit pass interference call. You were 2 of 9 in goal-to-go situations. You misfired multiple times to Davante Adams. You overthrew him in the end zone. He straight up dropped one because you threw it behind him. Aaron Rodgers wasn't good enough yesterday.
Yep.
Tom Brady threw 3 interceptions that were almost meaningless because the Packers couldn't capitalize on those.
Yeah, it's true.
Aaron Rodgers also, the play that nobody talks about, that last throw to Davante Adams, Aaron Rodgers should have run for the touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
But nobody wants to talk about that. He had acres and green stuff in front of him and grass and stuff. And he didn't run. He sat there and held the football. Aaron Rodgers wasn't good enough yesterday, right? They needed Mitchell Trubisky. They didn't have him, so they had to play Aaron Rodgers.
Wow.
That was a Bears reference.
I woke up this morning, I was feeling pretty dangerous.
Yeah, I mean, Baker wins that game.
Mm-hmm.
He probably doesn't. But the point is, Aaron Rodgers is playing great football. But at what point do we start truth-telling on Aaron Rodgers? He's not clutch. He's not a big game performer. And he's not a guy that can single-handedly take you to a Super Bowl. That's not who Aaron Rodgers is. Because when the game's on the line in the biggest situations, he squeezes the air out of the football. And Tom Brady doesn't. It's that simple.
Yep.
Tom Brady threw 3 interceptions that were down the field. 2 of the 3 were egregious. I don't know even what he was looking at.
Yeah.
But they didn't come back to haunt the Bucs because the Bucs are going to the Super Bowl and Tom Brady is going to play for his 7th championship. And I just don't understand why Aaron Rodgers has to constantly play a victim. Only one bye week.
Let's play.
What
the
are you
clip.
Talking
let's
about?
Let's play the clip talking about the decision, you know, not to go for the touchdown and kick the field goal, because this embodies what you're talking about here.
Aaron, did you agree with the decision to kick it there on fourth down?
I didn't have a decision on that one. Yeah, that wasn't my decision. But I understand thinking above 2 minutes with all of our timeouts, but yeah, that wasn't my decision.
Well, I mean, at this point, I think you got to fire Mike McCarthy, right? I mean, Matt LaFleur kicked the field goal in Green Bay, so Dallas has to fire Mike McCarthy again, right? Because there's no way that this could be Aaron's decision because it was a bad decision, right? I mean, shut up. Like, he never one time said, well, I just didn't play well enough. I didn't execute in the red zone.
It is what it is.
You know, I'm not Jim McMahon, and I'll never be Don Majkowski. And I just, you know, I miss Olivia Munn and Danica Patrick, and I wonder if they'll do three ways. I just don't, probably too much. But the point is, Aaron Rodgers is a dick. He's not likable. He's not a clutch quarterback.
Right.
You can throw all the Rodgers rate, State Farm, Allstate, Progressive commercials you want, and he's still a dick. And I just am happy that the Packers lost because he's a dick.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know why something just fell on me. But anyway, the point is, he has always been overrated in my mind. He has never been Tom Brady or Peyton Manning. He's always been in that second tier of quarterbacks.
Yep.
He's probably better all time when it comes down to it. He's probably better all time than Drew Brees is.
Right.
Right? But he's never going to be Tom Brady, Peyton Manning.
No.
He's never going to be amongst the greatest quarterbacks ever because he doesn't perform in this situation.
Yeah, and I think for the Packers, the most frustrating thing is you went from Brett Favre to Aaron Rodgers, and, you know, everybody for, what, the last 10 years has been talking about how Aaron Rodgers, you know, is the greatest thing since sliced bread, but they never win. They don't win anything. I mean, you know, they're the classic team that is like, hey, we're really good, we're really good, and then you get to the postseason and they get knocked out. And so that's why in that sense, they're just like the Jazz as an example. You get to the postseason and you can't win, you know, because, you know, either your star player isn't good enough or, you know, there's always an excuse. And so, you know, if you're the Packers, I really think there's a legitimate conversation in looking at your very near future. I doubt this year they'll move on from him, like this coming season, but the year after that, like the 2022-2023 season, I could totally see them moving on from him. I mean, at some point, Jordan Love's got to get in the game. You know, at some point, you got to go to the next era, if you will, at quarterback and start that retooling process of, hey, we're going to suck for a couple years, and then, you know, we'll be back. And you have to do that.
Yeah, I just don't happen to think that a guy like Aaron Rodgers – here's the problem. Aaron Rodgers is good enough. He's just not –
he's never going
to
win.
He's just not the guy that's going to take you to a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
You're going to have to get more pieces on defense. You're going to have to get probably somebody that's elite at the wide receiver to go with Devontae Adams. Because he literally will not throw the football in crucial situations. We saw it 2-3 times yesterday.
Yeah.
He had open receivers that he just didn't look at because he was locked on Devontae Adams.
Mm-hmm.
So do you need another guy? I don't know. How many more running backs do you need on this team? Do you have any running backs when you have 8 running backs?
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, there's really no excuses for them losing. I mean, going into this game, if you listened to the show last week on Friday, we specifically talked about how they had the trio of running backs in the backfield, so they'd always have fresh legs back there, and there should always be good protection for him as it pertains to the back sitting there next to him in the backfield, you know? So that's not an excuse. You can check that box off. You know, you look at the wide receiving core, and yeah, that's an area where they're a little lighter. Sure, Devontae Adams is a stud, but there's a bunch of other guys. You know, I look at Lazard, who had a couple nice catches, but they didn't really make any game-changing plays. You know, nothing. They didn't really do anything to alter the course of this game. So yeah, maybe they do need to add a name, but overall, I think the biggest thing is that they're just not. Whether it's Aaron Rodgers, other folks on the roster, they're just not as good as a Tom Brady-led team because Tom's been there. He knows how to win. And he understands, like the Scotty Miller play is a perfect example. That situation coming down to the half there, they had, what do they have, 13 seconds left, and they still found a way to score?
Inexcusable.
Yeah, so but my point in that is just to say, like, when you're on a Tom Brady-led team, it was always an expectation that you were going to try and put at least 3 points on the board there. It just, that's just an expectation. Whereas with Aaron Rodgers, there's not that expectation, and that's because he hasn't won as much. And,
yeah.
And so I just have a hard time putting him in the conversation when he's got one and Tom's got six, maybe going to be seven if it all breaks right.
Yeah, and I do think that it is that the bigger issue is that you look at some of the situations that happened in this game like that, like it was a straight lack of respect for Tom Brady's ability to throw that touchdown at the end of the first half. It doesn't matter who you had there.
Right.
Whether it was Hogan or Jones or Smith or me, like it you have to show some respect for that wide receiver.
Yep.
Because Tom Brady's the quarterback. And I think what we saw was Tom Brady throw a perfect pass to a guy that frankly was wide open.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you combine that the poor effort on defense at times in the first half. They played much better in the second half. You combine that with Aaron Rodgers just not being very good in the red zone.
Yeah.
And under he was facing pressure he hadn't faced all season long. He was 0-4 on pressure off of that right edge. I mean, you're asking the Packers to do an awful lot with essentially a rookie head coach who probably made the wrong decision kicking that field goal.
Probably, but I mean, at least it's not. I'm not going to sit here and call it a boneheaded decision, you know, looking back. Like, when we were watching the game, I was a little surprised that they weren't going for it there because it is Tom Brady. You know, if you were playing another team, if you were playing somebody else, okay, I could kind of see how you'd be like, yeah, we'll get it back. You know, we'll trust our defense here. We'll get it back. You know, we'll have our timeouts and you know, you probably have under a minute with the football, but you got time, you know, because you have the timeouts. But with Tom Brady, it's kind of a different story. But either way, you know, the fact that he even was humoring the idea of kicking the field goal is an indictment on Aaron Rodgers. And I don't mean that from a place of like just hating on Rodgers, but I don't think there's any way to get around that. I mean, if you're sitting there as a head coach and you're watching this drive play out and you're like, okay, well, you know, what's the best thing to do here? Do I think we can actually convert on a fourth down in the red zone or should we just take the points? He chose to go with the points, you know? And so there's just no way around that. So I'll be really curious to see, you know, is Aaron Rodgers going to come back and say, well, you know, I want to be traded or I want to be cut loose or whatever.
No,
like, I
no,
mean, is he?
He won't. I think Aaron Rodgers is going to drink his juice the next couple of weeks and we're not going to hear from him.
Yeah.
And we're going to go into mini camps and there's not going to be questions about it. I would be stunned if Aaron Rodgers demands a trade. Jordan Love is not ready, right? If I'm the Green Bay Packers, how am I not? If you want out of Aaron Rodgers, call the Houston Texans.
Mm-hmm.
You have options. Neither one of them wants out.
Right.
The Packers don't want out, and you can't tell me Aaron Rodgers wants out of Green Bay. I just don't buy that.
Yeah, it is a cushy spot he's got, for right, sure.
And he is forever going to be lauded by Packer fans. There is not a Green Bay Packer fan who will openly question Aaron Rodgers. They will kiss his ass, and they will talk about how he's a legend, and, oh, Aaron Rodgers, well, it's Green Bay. We're a small market. He doesn't get respect because he's not good enough.
Yeah, well,
period.
Yeah.
He's just not good enough, and I don't know how many more times you can say it. Aaron Rodgers is the reason they've lost four straight conference championship games. It's not Mike McCarthy. It's not Matt LaFleur. It's not an offensive pass interference or 3 years ago or whatever that call was. This time it wasn't defensive pass interference. It's Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
No other quarterback ever in the history of football has lost four consecutive conference championship game appearances. They haven't.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, there is this guy named Tom Brady. Tom Brady is going to play for his seventh Super Bowl championship. And I think, again, you look at the mistakes that Tom Brady made yesterday, and absolutely he made mistakes. There's no doubt he threw three interceptions. No question, Tom Brady did not play his best game.
Right.
he outplayed Aaron Rodgers. And,
somehow.
And, yeah, and people are going to look at the stat line and they're going to say, oh, Aaron, and 103 rating. He outplayed Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
Very plain and simply. That throw at the end of the first half won them the game.
Yep.
That was the game. That was it. And I think when you look at the way that Tom Brady handles different situations, he just doesn't get nervous. He doesn't squeeze the football. He doesn't take terrible sacks because he gets rid of the football. That's why he doesn't get hit very much.
Yep.
Right? That's why
he stayed healthy.
That's why he's 53 or 73 and he's still playing in the NFL. Right? Tom Brady is elite for a lot of reasons, but I think we see a guy that's poised and who doesn't allow himself to get hit a lot. Jake, I think that's why he is significantly better than Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, and I think the leadership piece, when we're talking about Aaron Rodgers, is one of the biggest ones to kind of compare him to his peers. That, you know, when I look at Aaron Rodgers over the years and all the drama and all the, you know, whether it was McCarthy or locker room issues or whatever it's been over the years, there's always something there. You know, it's never Aaron Rodgers' fault, whether we're talking about his family, the football team, whatever it is. When I look at Tom Brady, it's not really – it's just a completely different mindset and situation. Tom Brady doesn't give a damn whose fault it was, right? All Tom Brady cares about is making sure the entire team is on the same page and executing at the highest level possible. And then when Tom Brady throws three picks, he's gonna own that. And I think that's why Tom Brady-led teams win, because the players respect him. Guys like Scotty Miller are just, you know – waiting for their opportunity to get their second play in an entire football game to make one catch, you know? And by the way, the Scotty Miller thing, what I thought was so fascinating about that, the play before that for Scotty Miller, he got lit up and didn't make the catch. Comes right back in a couple plays later, wins the game for him, essentially, like you were just saying. So that's why I say, dude, like, it's really not a comparison. Blame the penalties, blame whatever you want. At the end of the day, he didn't get the job done. Tom Brady did. On a different team in the opposite conference, playing a different schedule than he's ever played as far as the postseason is concerned. And yet here we are in the Super Bowl. So what's really the discussion?
Yeah, I think Scotty Miller is, you know, Hogan. He is Troy Brown. He is LeGarrette Blount.
Yeah.
He is that guy that Tom Brady makes better.
Yep.
And I think it's phenomenal. Let's flip the script and talk about the AFC Championship, because I think we saw a separation of classes. Yeah. We had two quarterbacks in Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen who are on different levels. And I think there's no doubt, you look at the way that Patrick Mahomes played in that game, it is undoubtedly the reason they won that game was Patrick Mahomes. And the reason the Bills lost was Josh Allen. Allen was nervous. He lost his composure. It was all the things we talked about on Friday, the need for him to stay composed, have the game of his career, and he just didn't.
Yeah.
And I think it's very hard to be composed and be elite in those situations, but that's what makes Tom Brady Tom Brady, or John Elway John Elway, or Joe Montana Joe Montana. When you can stand in there in conference championship games and deliver a football down the field, it's why, frankly, the Baltimore Ravens are not here. It's why the Saints are not going to the Super Bowl this year. You look at the way these quarterbacks perform in big games, they're cool, man. And yep. I think Patrick Mahomes really showed that. Clearly not 100%. Limping around on that turf toe, which is incredibly painful, and still just getting the job done.
Yep.
And I cannot say enough about Travis Kelce. And the job that he did for them, he and Tyreek Hill are the perfect combination of size and speed. They both do completely different things, and they're both the best at their position. And I know that Kansas City, this, by the way, the Super Bowl LV is in Tampa. It's at Tom Brady's home stadium.
Another
and the Chiefs,
thing.
The Chiefs are favored by 3.5 in that game early.
Yeah.
And that line's probably going to move, but right now, today, if you're asking me, I'm taking the Chiefs to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I think you have to. I think yesterday's performance was reassuring if you're a Chiefs fan, and really if you're someone who follows the NFL, because this season, let's not forget, you know, what the Chiefs looked like this year. There were a lot of times when people, you know, were wondering. I mean, they did struggle a little bit. It wasn't just the smoothest, you know, 14 and, you know, whatever it was for them. You know, it wasn't a smooth 14 wins. There were a lot of battles in there. There were a lot of games there that were really close that they edged out. And so to win a game like this against a really good Bills team, a Bills team that I thought had one of the best chances to beat the Chiefs of any team that they faced in a couple years. It's remarkable, really. And yeah, I think while we're talking about quarterbacks, Patrick Mahomes, it's hard to say that he's not the best quarterback in the league, man. It's really tough to deny that at this point. I mean, he just creates so many situations that are essentially undefensible, unguardable, you know, and that really is what makes them special.
Yeah, and I, you know what? I don't know how you defend that team. Now, the reason we picked the Bucs to beat the Packers is because, well, I did, you didn't, but because I'm brilliant. And I'm the better looking one, right? Anyway, the point is,
like I did pick the Bucs.
Nah, but I think you kind of picked the Packers. Okay. You were jock sniffing Aaron Rodgers.
Okay.
Anyway, the point is, you were drunk on his pheromones. Mm-hmm. The point is, there's a great drop for that. The point is,
you're relentless.
All gas, no break.
Exactly right. The point is, the reason that we pick the Bucs to beat the Packers was because of that defense and the speed of those linebackers. Now, they have some real issues. Dean can't cover me, and I run like a 17.640. Their secondary is not good because of all the injuries. So it'll be interesting to see, can they get healthy over the next 2 weeks? We'll see about that. Levante David, I mean, is just a beast at linebacker. Those linebackers are very good. Jason Pierre-Paul is playing at an incredibly high level for a guy that essentially blew his hand off and ended his career. He's playing pretty good football in the NFL. Seriously, people left him for dead, man. And I think you're seeing a guy that is playing incredible football for Tampa.
Yeah.
He clearly disrupted what Aaron Rodgers was doing yesterday.
Yep.
I think they took away the pass to the running backs. They hit incredibly hard.
Yeah.
I mean,
so much to the point that Whitehead went out of the game, and I don't know if there's been an update, but if that's a broken collarbone, I don't see how he plays in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, he hurt his shoulder on that hit, on Jones. So that's something that you have to keep an eye on. But if you look at the guy, like Sean Murphy bunting, clearly holding, unless it doesn't get called, so you can't get a speeding ticket if there's no cop. The point
that's
is,
pretty much self-explanatory.
There was no penalty, so it was not pass interference or defensive holding. He's playing. I thought Shaquille Barrett yesterday. I mean, he absolutely impacted the way that Aaron Rodgers sat in the pocket and threw the football.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this defense is fast. They're physical. And I think that's what you're going to need. I don't think that you can do what Buffalo did, with all due respect to Leslie Frazier, the defensive coordinator of the Bills. You cannot allow Patrick Mahomes to be comfortable in the pocket.
Yeah.
You got to go get him.
Yep.
And I think if you are the Tampa Bay Bucs in the Super Bowl, you're going to need Jason Pierre-Paul and Shaq Barrett to play incredible football games and get Patrick Mahomes off the spot. With that turf toe that's not going to heal in 2 weeks because it takes 2 months, you have a real opportunity to make him uncomfortable. It's going to be all about how healthy that secondary is for Tampa. I'm still leaning towards Kansas City here.
Yeah.
But as we go through this week and head for Super Bowl week, I think that's when we're going to get a real look at this.
Yeah, and I think when you're playing the Chiefs, it can't be any clearer than it is now that, you know, you have to keep up with them scoring. I mean, you can do everything. You can play a perfect game defensively and they're still going to score. You know, I mean, they're still going to get on the board. But the problem was the Bills just didn't put out a good offensive game plan. They didn't execute. So you wind up scoring 9 or 10 points or whatever it ends up being, and you're not even really in the game. I mean, you get your ass handed to you, essentially. And so it's just it's a frustrating thing for the Bills because I think they know they're better than what they showed last night. But I think this is what makes the great quarterbacks great. Every
Absolutely.
Great quarterback went through a game where they got their ass kicked, and they learned from that. And so if you're a Bills fan, I think you should not be mad about what happened yesterday. You should be happy. You should be thrilled that Josh Allen went through that experience.
Yeah.
And I think now next year, the expectation would be to contend for a Super Bowl and get there. I mean, that's where they're at as a team.
Well, there's a lot of people weighing in on this. Barry, the New York Giant fan, is in on Aaron Rodgers, and he says he's always been overrated from day one. As soon as he ran Brett Favre out of Green Bay, his power was going to be endless. I think there's a lot of credence in
that. I would agree.
Excellent
point. Totally agree.
Excellent point. Mitchell says, you hit the nail on the head when you talked about the fact that Aaron wouldn't run the football. He's a throw-first guy, and you have to be able to run. For as poorly as Josh Allen played, he still impacted the game with his legs yesterday. He did.
By the way, and the other thing, too, like, that Bills team, you want to talk about a team that stands behind their quarterback and really will follow a guy till the end? I mean, that team is all about Josh Allen.
Yeah, I look at that pass interference call. Kieran McAllister says, you have to throw it when it happens. If you're not sure, didn't see it, you can't throw it 7 seconds later after you're convinced by the flailing of players' arms as they do after every pass play. Well, and he's talking about the pass interference. I think it was 1:41 left in the game.
Yeah.
It was clearly pass interference. I mean, on all the replays, you can see the DB pulling the wide receiver's T-shirt. It was pass interference. But to Kieran's point, I think he's exactly right. You can't wait 7 to 10 seconds and then throw the flag.
Yeah.
You either saw it or you didn't. You threw it or you didn't.
Well, and I think if you're an official, you should throw it because they reverse those calls all the time. You know?
Yep. Lopes Van Gabe says, everything we need to know about Sharon was on display when he threw the ball instead of tucking and going for the end zone when everything opened up in front of him. And I think that's exactly right.
But does he
run
get to the
football?
End zone? Does he get there?
Because he at least gets the first down. I think there was so much room. He's an excellent athlete. This is the other thing.
Mm-hmm.
Aaron Rodgers can really run.
Yeah.
But I think he's had some leg and knee injuries that have made him question that that's the right thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
Aaron Rodgers should have run the football right there.
Yeah. I don't know that he gets in, but I agree that he should have. Because the window he threw it to was never going to be completed. I mean, you had two guys standing right there. There was no way they were going to allow that. Does he get in? I don't know. It would have been close.
Well, yeah, for sure. Williams says, thanks for the drops, Jake. Play more.
Mm-hmm.
This is what always happens with the Packers. They're mediocre because they run off guys like Brett Favre, who winds up taking a division rival to the playoffs. Like, how do you run off Brett Favre? But here's the other thing. Are you really telling me they're going to run off Aaron Rodgers? I just don't believe that. For a guy in Jordan Love who was – the difference with Aaron Rodgers is when Aaron Rodgers was drafted, he should have been the number one pick in the draft.
Right.
But – the Niners went with Alex Smith.
Right.
It was very close, right?
Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers was a guy that was really well-regarded. Now, Jordan Love is a guy that a lot of people like as a prospect, but he's not ready to step in and play.
Certainly not at this level. No.
And it's been 1 year, and Aaron Rodgers isn't exactly known as a guy who's going out of his way to mentor him
Big
either.
Big difference between him and Alex Smith.
You know? Well, yeah. Yeah, and I think that those are real questions that have to be answered about Aaron Rodgers. Like, I think he's probably still got at least 3 good years left. Certainly, I think he's got 2 left on this deal.
Yeah.
I think a year from now, we're having a real conversation about this because he's got like a $31 million cap hit for 2022.
Yeah.
A year from now, we're having this conversation.
Yeah. I mean,
right now, it's irrelevant.
Yeah. I mean, at some point, they're going to have to move on. It's just a matter of time, obviously.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And finally, the Jera. Did you guys see Jimma in China yesterday? Hit 11 threes. All right. That's cool. Jimmer
Dude,
for that,
the guy
I did.
Always puts on a show.
I actually did. And I think he probably saw it on my Twitter feed, The Monty Show. You should follow me on Twitter, The Monty Show. Or Instagram or YouTube, The Monty Show. Can we talk about Deshaun Watson, please, here? After you hit subscribe. Please, please, please hit subscribe on YouTube.
I want to.
Yeah, I'm thirsty. Find us on YouTube, The Monty Show. M-O-N-T-Y, The Monty Show. Hit the subscribe button as we talk about Deshaun Watson.
Right.
There were a lot of rumors over the weekend that his number one destination of choice is the New York Jets, which immediately makes you know that somebody's got bad sources.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody wants to go to the Jets.
No.
But they made that rumor happen because Robert Saleh, who is now the Jets head coach,
mm-hmm.
was Deshaun Watson's first choice in Houston.
Right.
I don't think he's going to the Jets. I don't think he's going back because one thing that's clear that came out of the news this weekend is that Deshaun Watson, no matter who they hire, wants out of Houston. He is telling people he's done as a Texan. And it's an interesting conversation. I mean, if you're Deshaun Watson, are you better off being a Miami Dolphin than you are a Houston Texan?
Yeah, because I think right now the Dolphins are a better organization than the Texans are. You know, you look at the Dolphins and really there's like when you look at teams that are rebuilding, right? There's basically two ways to go about rebuilding. You can trade a bunch of players, get a bunch of draft capital and go the longer route, but have more longevity in that process, right? So for a longer amount of time, you're going to be good. But if you're looking to turn that around, you can sign a bunch of free agents, you can spend a bunch of money immediately and get that. So the Dolphins went the longer route, right? They tried to do the deal with Josh Allen or Josh Rosen. That didn't work out. So then they were a bad team and they went the draft route. That's really worked out. They're a good team. And I think what a lot of people are saying is that, hey, if Deshaun Watson was quarterback in that team this year, they're probably in the postseason. You know, they'd probably be a one-and-done team because they don't have the talent all around to compete at that level, but at least they're in the postseason. And if I'm Deshaun Watson, do I really want to go to New York when I've been playing in Texas my whole career? Like, Miami seems like a better fit overall based on, like, where his life is set up and where he's played most of his career. So I'd be going to Miami if I was him.
Well, and the other thing you got to remember is that in New York, you pay almost 9% income tax.
Dude,
in Florida, they have no state income tax. When you're making millions of dollars, that's worth millions of dollars to you. I think that's absolutely a factor. And I think that when you look at guys like Brian Flores, I think he has done an incredible job in Miami. I think all signs point to the fact that Deshaun Watson probably wants to go to Miami.
And he's been vocal about wanting to play for a black head coach. And I think that's an admirable
cause. And I think I would say a minority head coach because Robert Saleh obviously is Muslim.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if you look at the trend in the NFL, certainly civil rights and racial equality are two big platforms. We've seen all of these guys with, you know, names of, you know, black men who have been killed by police across this country on the back of their helmets. I mean, this is a big push. You see guys in the community. I think it's absolutely reasonable for a black quarterback to want to play for a minority head coach.
Yeah.
And I have no problem with that, which means that the Bears should fire Matt Nagy and hire Eric Bieniemy to be their head coach so that they can go trade for Deshaun Watson. Just a thought. Anyway, the point is...
That would be amazing.
That would be, but it's not going to happen. The point is, I'm curious to see what happens in Houston. Because if Houston does hire Eric Bieniemy, and it would seem that that's where this is going, they're supposedly down to Bieniemy and Leslie Frazier, who is a defensive coordinator in Buffalo. Frazier now is much more available.
Yeah.
Because they lost. Bieniemy's the right choice.
Yeah.
I mean... I don't know if that saves the relationship with Deshaun Watson. I mean, sources are saying that no matter who you hire, it's over. So we'll see.
Yeah.
But there is credence, and I think there is credibility to the idea that if Deshaun Watson is telling you he doesn't want to be a Texan anymore, you should trade Deshaun Watson. Because you're not going to win right now, no matter who you hire as a head coach.
Yeah.
You're not going to win right now.
Well, and by the way, you're going to get a haul of players. I mean, if they trade him, and I think it's not if, it's when they trade him at this
yes.
point. I'd be really surprised if they somehow kept him. But, you know, when they trade him, they're going to get they're going to get first-round picks, second-round picks, and a player. That's what the structure of the package is that they're looking for. So, like with the Jets, you know, it's going to be the Jets' second overall pick, so they can get the second best quarterback. And then they're going to get a few other picks in the first and second round, and they're going to want a player like Quinnen Williams. So if you get that kind of a package for Deshaun Watson, I think that's definitely worth it. You know, that's definitely a good deal. Because then, you know, let's just assume that Trevor Lawrence gets picked first. Okay, great. Let's then assume that they go and get Zach Wilson as an example, or whoever they decide to go with. Okay, cool. Now you're that young team. Now you're basically where the Cardinals were when they drafted Kyler Murray. You know, so I think that's a perfectly reasonable solution, but we're talking about the Texans. We're not talking about an organization that makes good football decisions. They're, as you like to say about many teams, they're not good at footballing. So, you know, they can't be trusted is my point.
Well, I mean, if you look at just the income tax, I'm sitting here while you're espousing about Deshaun Watson.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I'm calculating what his income tax would be. On a $156 million contract as a New York Jet, he'd be paying $13.8 million in tax.
Okay.
In Florida, he would be paying none. So, yeah. I mean, that's a huge difference.
It is.
It's why guys like Shaquille O'Neal played for the Heat and the Magic.
LeBron.
Right? Like, it's what, yeah, I mean, it makes a huge difference. I mean, at some point, I guess it's all just water under the bridge when you're making $156 million. You know, you're giving away 14. Okay, cool.
Still $14
million. $14 million is not, you know, Jack in the Box cash.
I don't know anybody that's calling $14 million water under the bridge, bro. Yeah,
But at some point your happiness has to matter. Yeah. Now, if I'm a professional athlete, I'm trying to Tom Brady ain't stupid, man. Why do you, I mean, you can't tell me that didn't play a factor.
Yeah.
In him going to Tampa. I don't know. I think it's an interesting question. I don't think Deshaun Watson is going to end up anywhere. He's not coming to the Bears.
No.
He's not going to the Jets.
No. I mean, he needs to go to a team. And the Jets and the Dolphins are obviously the front-running teams. But he needs to go to a team that is on the cusp of being good, or being playoff-bound, I should say. But isn't quite there. I mean, those are the kind of teams that would be looking at this kind of a deal, you know? So, like, again, I look at, not that anyone's mentioned, like, the Colts in this conversation, but, you know, you look at a team like the Colts who could use a quarterback on his level. You know, other teams in the league like that. You know, other teams will emerge is, I guess, the point. It's never just two teams. There's going to be a third, a fourth, and a fifth team that try to get in on this, but at the end of the day, Miami would be my choice unless another great option comes along.
Why are more people not looking at New Orleans?
Yeah, I think a lot of people are assuming that Taysom's going to take over that job.
No chance. And look, I love Taysom Hill. Taters is my dude.
Mm-hmm.
The Taysomator is a fantastic NFL role player.
Are we clear on that?
He's not an every down quarterback. Mm-hmm. He's not. And, you know, your sticky fingers Winston is not an every down quarterback in this league on a championship caliber club.
Too busy eating crab legs.
Yeah, well, stealing crab legs. I think New Orleans is a great landing spot for him.
Yeah.
I look at some of the other possibilities. I mean, if you look at Carolina,
yep.
Obviously Carolina
been talked about. Yep.
Has been talked about heavily.
Well, and that would just be another, he's basically what? Newton 2.0, essentially.
Yeah.
So.
Well, look at Jacksonville. If you're the Jags, you just hired Urban Meyer, right? Are you not doing everything possible?
I don't think
so. And I mean everything. You're not?
I think Urban, it doesn't make sense to me that Urban would. Well, I guess I could see it both ways. But to me, just with Urban's story and how long he's been in the college game, it would make more sense to me that Urban Meyer would draft a young quarterback and mold him. But then on the flip side, I say, well, you are Urban Meyer and you do want to win, so why wouldn't you go and get Deshaun? You know, so I guess it's a mentality thing at the end of the day.
Yeah, I don't know. All I'm saying is I agree with Barry, the New York Giant fan, who made a great point, because Barry follows me on Twitter, apparently. I didn't know that. But Barry pointed out that Rex Grossman and Aaron Rodgers have the same number of NFC championship wins. Rex Grossman and Aaron Rodgers are on the same level.
Bro.
Screw you, Aaron Rodgers. Screw you. Anyway, I'm probably jealous. I mean, when you get over Olivia Munn and Danica, but Danica Patrick is like an adolescent boy, so I'm not really attracted to her. Olivia Munn, yeah, baby. Olivia Munn, hey now, like good morning, good afternoon, good brunch time, good tea time. Like if Olivia Munn is my wife, we probably are fielding several football teams.
All gas, no break.
I mean, it's breakfast, it's a snack, it's brunch, lunch. Another snack, like I'm just eating all day long. I mean, I would not have time for a job if Olivia Munn was my wife, because we would just be procreatorially living. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
She would, you know,
mm-hmm.
I'm just saying, I mean, anyway, the point is Olivia Munn or Lindsey Vonn.
Why you gotta do that? Why you got to do that?
I know the customers that have shopped at Lindsey Vonn's store.
Yeah, but you can't tell me Olivia Munn's innocent. Come on.
That's what I love. She's not innocent.
Come on.
She is guilty as hell, bro.
So I said, yeah.
Yes. Olivia Munn, yes. Here's the other, Britney Spears or Lindsay Vaughn.
No,
you have to do one or the other.
No,
you got to do one or the other. No, Britney Spears. Because Britney Spears is crazy. She is, number one, Britney Spears is a dancer.
No.
She has got excellent hip flexation.
Dude.
You know what I'm saying, man?
Like, you see, I'm a guy of simple taste.
Hey, man. If I listen, and I'm just saying, with Lindsay Vaughn, there are not enough prophylactics on the face of the earth, because she was with Tiger Woods.
Okay.
So you're catching something.
Right.
But.
Yeah, but then if you go with Britney, she's going to hunt your ass down in like 5 years and, you know, cause a problem.
But isn't she that one you're like, okay, fine, Britney, one more time. Right? And then you play her song, Give It To Me One More. Give it to me one more time.
We still never talk sometimes.
Yeah, we don't need to talk, baby. Anyway, the point is, I'm okay if Britney wants to hunt me down once every 5 years. Bro. Absolutely.
No.
Hand me a check and let's get it done.
Dude.
What?
No.
Okay.
She's insane, bro.
Yeah. Well, there's something. Some men like that.
You are what you are.
Some men like crazy.
I guess.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, you're not one to shy away from that.
Stop.
Well, am I wrong?
Don't start.
Don't start what?
Don't start.
What?
Don't.
Who?
Anyway, let's move on.
Okay. Speaking of crazy, make sure you subscribe to our YouTube channel, The Monty Show. MONTY, The Monty Show, as we switch gears and talk about Conor McGregor. He got knocked the fuck out.
Damn, he did too.
Nighty night.
And I'll drop that motherfucker.
And how? Dustin Poirier. Poirier. Hey. Knocked Conor McGregor out. And what's interesting is they stood and delivered in that first round. Conor McGregor hit Poirier with everything he had and couldn't knock him down.
Right.
So Dustin just stood up and started kicking good old Conor right in the leg to the point where he fractured his leg and knocked him out. And then the stories came out that Conor McGregor completely changed the staff around him for this fight, did not spar but half as much as he usually did, and was distracted trying to put together a fight between he and Manny Pacquiao in a boxing match.
Which isn't going to happen now.
Right. And Conor had admitted he had a contract waiting to be signed between he and Manny Pacquiao.
Yeah.
And now with the broken leg, and I think Conor realizes that the UFC is not a part-time job.
Nope.
And I wonder if he goes back to Kavanaugh full-time and he brings back what got him to where he was. But part of me also wonders if Conor McGregor's missed the window.
You know, to me, first of all, the thing to be understood about Conor is he is one of the greatest athletes the UFC has ever seen. You know, so when he applies himself and he has a great camp and he is with the right people and he is not, like, he's not distracted and he's just focused on the fight, that's where the dominance comes in, you know, because he focuses on the details and all those things. So I don't personally believe he's missed the window yet. I do believe that time is coming. I don't think he's got all day to just wait around and wait another 18 months to fight. You're not getting any younger. But what I will say is that I think if he can fight two more times this year and he can be in that camp with those guys you were just talking about, I think he can get back to the form he was. Now, I don't think that Conor McGregor is going to get back to being a world champion. I just struggle with that idea. Mainly because he likes boxing. He likes making money. He wants to take the Mayweather route. He wants to simply put fights together, make a bunch of money, and go back home to the wife and kids. That's what he wants to do. And you can't do that in the UFC. The guys in the UFC are not the
but
guys
why?
In boxing.
Why do you say he can't do that in the UFC? Because I think that's exactly what he's done in the UFC.
No, he tried to do that this time, and that's not... It didn't work out for him, obviously.
Clearly.
You know, in the UFC, you can't do it because guys like Dustin Poirier or... any of these other guys, there's always another guy who's motivated to kick your ass. There's always somebody who is like, yep, I want the McGregor fight. I want to beat Conor McGregor, you know? So in MMA, it's not just walk around a square ring and punch each other. you know, there's a lot more to MMA fighting, like leg kicks, like ground game. So it's just way deeper from that standpoint. That's why I think it's more difficult to take 18 months off, get out of shape, you know, by UFC standards, and then try to get back into shape and get ready to fight. I mean, that's almost impossible to do.
I think Conor McGregor really damaged his brand here. I think he showed up ill prepared for this fight. I think he didn't take this fight seriously.
Mm-hmm.
I think there are a lot of people who believe that Conor McGregor is past his prime now. And I think if you're Conor McGregor, you got to try and put the team back together and you have to fight for your legacy.
Yeah.
And I think you have to show up here and you have to knock some fools out. And I think you probably need a fight or two, and then you will likely get another title shot.
Agreed.
Is that against Khabib? Probably not.
Nope.
I think those days are over. I don't think there are any. And listen, I know that the UFC is something of a fanatical fan base. I don't know how many people are willing to pay for Conor Khabib when it's $70 and Conor is not who he used to be.
Well, and that's the thing. You're totally right as far as his brand is concerned. So now, you know, because he lost his fight and he has the leg injury, he's not going to fight Manny Pacquiao. Manny Pacquiao is going to fight Ryan Garcia, which I think will be entertaining, but that's a huge lost opportunity for Conor.
Ryan Garcia is going to blow Manny Pacquiao up.
I'm sure he will.
I believe that there's a real good chance that Manny Pacquiao doesn't have brain function after that fight. Like, and I worry about Manny Pacquiao. I really do. I mean, I just, I don't know, man. I think that the UFC is a special beast.
Mm-hmm.
It is why Brock Lesnar was never able to make the transition to be, you know, this magnificent heavyweight champion. Because it's not just show up and bludgeon people.
It's not fake. It's real.
Yeah, there's a game. There is a skill. There is the UFC is wildly underrated when it comes to the skill needed to excel in mixed martial arts. And I'll be interested to see exactly how all of this plays out. And I'll be interested to see exactly where Conor McGregor goes from here.
Yeah.
Because frankly, I don't know the answer to that question. Because also, I'm not willing to shill for him anymore. I'm not willing to pay for Conor McGregor anymore.
Oh,
did
you pay for this fight?
No.
Oh, okay.
But I'm not willing to do that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of scratch, man.
Yeah.
Like, and by the way, while we're talking about this, ESPN had their worst pay-per-view event of their history. They had so many technical issues because so many people paid for this fight on ESPN Plus.
Yeah.
So there is something to be said for the drawing power, but I think this loss really hurts Conor McGregor. This is a make or break moment.
Yes.
For him.
It is.
He either takes it seriously and gets back to being the best fighter in the world, or he is going to do the Chuck Liddell precipitous backslide.
Flame out.
Where you're done, and all of a sudden you have nothing, and you're, because I fear for Conor McGregor once he's done fighting, what does he really have?
Well, he's got the whiskey brand, and I think he's got a lot of relationships too. So I think you'll see he will create more things, but he's got a lot of money, dude.
He may have a lot of money, but he's also got a lot of legal problems because he's a guy that pops off and punches people, and he needs to fight. He needs the stage because he does not do well being anonymous.
Right.
He doesn't. And it'll be interesting to see what happens to him if his career is truly over. And I'm not saying it is, but there's a lot of people who think he may be on the backside.
Well,
what do you do?
Well, there's no doubt he's on the backside of his career. That, to me, that's not.
Does he ever hold a belt again?
I don't think he ever holds one. I do think he'll fight for one. I think he'll fight two more times this year. I think he'll win both of those fights, and then next year, in the first quarter of next year, he'll fight for a title. I don't know what weight division he'll go with.
He's a light heavyweight, period.
He is. That's the weight he should be fighting at, but we've seen him do a lot of different things. So I think at the end of the day, he needs to get healthy first, and then he needs to make a decision. Plain and simple, are you going to continue this, and are you going to take it seriously, or do you just want a box and make your money that way? So that's what it is.
Yeah, I don't know. It'll be interesting to see for sure. I think there's so much around the idea, and there are so many people who are just curious about what he'll do.
I will say, Conor McGregor is one of the most relatable UFC fighters there have been quite some time, man.
Like, yeah.
You know, the UFC, there was a time there where the UFC didn't really have a guy, like a name, like somebody who were like, yeah, it's Conor, man. We got to watch that fight. You know, they didn't have that before Conor for quite some time, you know? So I don't know who that next name is after Conor.
Well, the next thing you should do after Conor is hit the subscribe button on YouTube. The Monty Show, M-O-N-T-Y, The Monty Show on YouTube. You guys have been steadily subscribing to the show. We appreciate that. Our numbers on YouTube are growing steadily. We really now are focused on getting to 1,000 subscribers, which is a tall mountain to climb when you're only at about 100. So every one of you that subscribes makes a huge difference for us on the channel. We really appreciate that. Search The Monty Show, M-O-N-T-Y. The Monty Show. A lot of coronavirus issues today.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting that the governor of California, one Gavin Newsom, out of nowhere, will lift the lockdowns in California today. And a lot of people are wondering why he's doing that. They instituted lockdowns when there were 2,200 ICU beds available in LA County.
Mm-hmm.
Or people in ICU beds with coronavirus in LA County, there's now 6,600.
Mm-hmm.
And he's lifting the lockdowns. Now, if you don't know or if you're not following the news in California, Governor Newsom is the subject of a seventh recall effort. This one actually has legs. They've got over 2 million votes, voters, I should say, signatures. And about 80% of those signatures have been validated. They need to get to 2 million to put it on a ballot.
For what?
To recall Gavin Newsom as governor of California.
Oh, to get him out of office.
Yes.
Okay.
And a lot of people are saying that he has really botched the handling of the coronavirus because California is a mess to begin with. Let's just be honest.
It is.
We're in Utah because California is unlivable. I love Southern California. I love the beach. I loved living in LA. It's unaffordable. I would live in San Francisco. I can't afford it.
Yeah.
The dream of owning a home in California is out of reach for 99% of people. And the sad thing is there was a stat that came out a couple of weeks ago about the upper 1% in California wealth grew this year. The bottom 99% stagnated or shrunk their personal wealth. That's the state of business in California. That's real and that's legitimate. And you can't do business in California. It's why, frankly, Arizona, Nevada, and Utah are exploding with tech companies who are moving out of California. California is a regulatory and, in my opinion, a humanitarian mess.
Yeah.
These lockdowns did not work, mainly because people are not scared or fear or respect the coronavirus.
Yeah, they don't. You're totally right.
And I think that's the biggest impact. You can recall Gavin Newsom. That's not going to fix the problem.
Yeah, it kind of feels like the conversation, you know, more pointed in California, but nationally too, is like, you know, if people aren't going to, you know, respect the pandemic and respect the virus and its capabilities and how deadly it can be, then why are we locking down? Like, if we're already going to have death, if we're already going to, you know, not take lockdown seriously, then why are we going to close all our businesses and basically debilitate the economy? You know, and it's a really grim conversation to have because it's amazing to me that so many people don't respect the virus and its capabilities. It's like the numbers, the death toll numbers. Are we past? I'm assuming we're past 400,000 now, right?
Oh, well past.
Well past. So yeah. I mean, you know, the idea that we're past 400,000 deaths in this country from the virus is crazy. Yet you still have, you know, folks who just don't respect it. And so in California with the beaches and everything that you can do outside, I guess it doesn't surprise me, but I gotta say, if people aren't going to respect lockdowns and they're not going to abide by them, then the only win you can get is allowing businesses to make money and let the economy thrive again.
And I think the thing that people don't realize is we have, you know, like a quarter of the cases globally of coronavirus. We only have 400 million people in this country, yet we have 25% of the cases globally.
Mm-hmm.
We have, I mean, it's amazing. And you look at the number of people that are dead in this country, it's 429,500. I mean, that's a lot of people
approaching
dead.
Approaching half a million.
Because, and largely, it's because people don't fear it or respect it. And Joe Biden instituted this travel ban coming essentially from Europe because this new strain of coronavirus, it is far more transmittable. It is far more contagious. And by all accounts, far more deadly. It's coming from Europe. It's coming from Brazil. They're not going, and now there's a travel ban. You have to have a negative test to get on a plane to come to the United States.
Yeah, that's how it
should
be. And
I think that's how it should be. I look at where deaths are happening. This is the crazy thing. I am amazed by the fact that India has 10,672,000 cases.
Mm-hmm.
The United States has 25,700,000 cases.
Yeah.
Like, how do you...
Because I think...
How do you explain that?
Well, number one, I think, you know, this country, we're extremely comfortable. And we think that we're, you know, almost in a sense bulletproof, you know, because all the different things we've heard versus a country like India where people understand, hey, like, you know, we may not even have consistent water to drink. Like... We can't take any risk, you know? And so, like, you know, if you're an essential worker in India, those are the folks that are probably getting the cases. You know, those are the people who are probably suffering. But you can't tell me that in India, the average Joe is risking his life, you know, with the current state of their country. I just don't see that happening.
I mean, we are the third largest population in the world. Who's number? Like, China's number one.
Russia's there.
China's number one. India's number two. And we're number three. And we're a distant number three. Like, China has 1.398 billion people.
It's a lot.
India has 1.366 billion people. We have 328 million.
Yeah.
And yet, if you look at the numbers, we have 25.7 million cases. India has 10.6 million. And if you look at, and now I don't know what you make of China and the communist regime in China.
And how honest have they been about their cases?
Probably not real honest. They don't report numbers in total.
Yeah.
But it's amazing to me. Look at India's death. India only has 153,500 deaths. We have 429,500 people dead.
Yep.
I mean, in the world, there's 2.1 million deaths. We've got 429,000 of that.
Yeah, because we're in our country, our culture does
not. It's incredible.
We're not fearful of it, I would say, as a country in the big picture.
It's incredible. I'm tired, frankly, of looking at Instagram and seeing all these people. By the way, Russia has 144 million people.
Oh, I thought they had more than that. Okay.
No. I'm tired of looking at Instagram and seeing all these people in packed bars and restaurants.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, it's frustrating to me that we had to go to Target the other day. And, like, I was actually nervous about being in Target.
Mm-hmm.
And there's people walking around without a mask. And it's like, dude, I'm just here to return a laundry basket. You know, like, can I... And it's unnerving for me. It is the only store that I'm actually comfortable shopping in during coronavirus is Costco because it's so big and spacious that I really can't control how close I get to people. In right. Target, I mean, I feel like a flea infested dog. Like there's just so many people that I don't know, man. I don't know. It is. There's just so many people.
Yeah. I mean, Costco is definitely bigger. There's no question about it. There's more floor space. There's more, you know, it's the aisles are wider. Like there's more area to stay away from people. I get it.
Yeah. Yeah, I
but yeah, as far as the lockdowns are concerned, I mean, I don't like the fact that that's the conversation we have to have. Like, hey, nobody respects the virus, so, you know, I guess if we're going to get sick either way, why wouldn't we have our businesses open? You know, it sucks that we're in that position, but I can't say that I disagree with that line of thinking, you know?
Real quick, though. Real quick, like, though.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what are you willing to do? Like, there's not a lot I'm willing to do.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still not. And people I work with actually mock me over it.
Mm-hmm.
During the week, I don't leave my house. Like, if you look at what I do, I don't leave the house very often during the week.
Yeah, I mean, really, the only thing...
Monday through Friday, maybe once or twice.
Yeah, I mean, we're still in the same situation we were when the pandemic started. I mean, the only reason that we really ever leave the house is for product. Like, you know, going to the store or doing things.
And I usually shop on Saturday and Sunday. I try to go to Costco on Sunday here in Utah because they're with church being, you know, such a center of the community here. Like it is, Costco is just much less busy in Utah on Sundays.
And you intentionally go out of your way to go to the biggest Costco in the valley.
I do. Yeah. Yeah. The downtown Salt Lake. I mean, they're it's built for commerce. It's built for small business owners. So they have like salad bowls and stuff.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
What? Why am I?
It's just because it's like a half hour away, you know, and you have one 5 minutes from your house. So
yeah, but you can't get the same things at the one. I always tell people this. You have to experiment and go to different Costcos because they all get different things.
Yeah.
Every Costco doesn't. Like right now, we're dying to find a bag of toasted coconut. Can't find it. Because, you know, like it's one of those things that. And that's why I say, like, if you're a small business owner, you can't count on Costco. Like there's some fear in that. You know, like there's some fear in that. If you're a small business owner, because if you're buying Jimmy's, you know, meat sticks for your burritos, and all of a sudden Costco stops selling Jimmy's meat sticks.
Hopefully Amazon has them.
Now your burritos taste different, right? I mean,
yeah.
But yeah, the Costco in downtown, what is it on?
It's like 300 South, and I can't remember.
Yeah, right by the Best Buy there, right by the old K-Fan Studios.
Yeah.
The
good old days.
Right by Mobetta.
Yes.
Mobetta's is so good.
You're willing to go to Mobetta's?
Yeah, but we sat in an empty Mobetta's pretty much.
Yeah.
We had plenty of social distance in there. That was amazing. Mobetta's Mac salad.
Fire.
Forget it. That I only get the chicken at Mobetta's.
Yeah.
If you don't know Mobetta's, you haven't lived yet.
Yeah.
Anyway, the point is, you got to go to different Costco's.
Yeah.
For sure. Anyway, are we going to talk about your ridiculous gallivanting in your Subaru yesterday where you totaled your car in the snow?
I didn't total my car in the snow. Nothing even happened. What are you talking about?
I don't know. Are you still single?
Yes.
Okay. You know.
I am. What?
Did you fix the Baker blow-up doll then or what?
No. I mean, yes. I duct taped it, but, you know.
Ooh. Watch out, man. Duct tape does bad thing to skin. I hope you know. Okay, there's the music. Make sure you find us on Twitter and Instagram, The Monty Show. It does. Don't put duct tape on your skin.
Okay.
It is not meant to be used as a prophylactic. I'm just telling you.
Okay.
Don't say I didn't warn you.
Have you tried it?
No, but don't get that Baker doll pregnant. I'm telling you right now. Bottoms up. Anyway, point is, find us on Twitter and Instagram, The Monty Show. MONCY, The Monty Show. You can find Jake SLC Supercars on Twitter and Instagram. Please, 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 we're begging because we're thirsty. Follow us on YouTube, The Monty Show. MONTY, The Monty Show. Until tomorrow. I don't know. What are we going to say?
Say nothing till tomorrow.
All right. Say nothing until tomorrow, Jake.
Okay, bye.
Bye.